Amen. All right. If you don't have a bulletin, if you'll raise your hand, we have a couple extra we can get to you. Has the outline on the back. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Good to see you this morning. I'm looking forward to the Lord doing something. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to read about 18 verses here, and then we will get started. Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, that they cover and that they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, as ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor a profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south in the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent, they will carry their riches upon their shoulders, the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to set seal. Now go write it before them in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy, not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression, and in perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken into pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found in the bursting of a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on a hill. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they, all they that wait for him. Can you ask a blessing on the sermon?
Thank you, Father in heaven, for just your awesomeness, God. None of us could be like you. Lord, there is none like unto you. Lord, we know that you can do everything and no thought can be withholden from you, Lord. You see everything. Everything is naked and before you, God. And Lord, we come to you today, Lord, where we help us to be humble. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. That way we can learn from your word now. And Lord, we let us eat them. Let your word be more important than our necessary meat today, God. Be with Pastor Bez as he delivers the message, God. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. This chapter is of Judah, which is part of the Jews, the nation of Israel, the southern tribe, seeking an alliance with Egypt, an unholy alliance with Egypt. And instead of trusting God, they're trusting Egypt to protect them. And we kind of gave you the background of that last week. So God's giving them words of rebuke if they trust Egypt, and he's giving them a promise if they wait on him. Right? So the background of this whole chapter, and actually a lot of this part of the book of Isaiah, is them having a desire to go to Egypt for help instead of God. And punishment if you go to Egypt, promise if you wait on the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want them to go to Egypt, so he sends them a prophet named Isaiah. Now, the first part of the book of Isaiah, if you read it, we're up to chapter 30 now, you will find that a very large portion of Isaiah's ministry was spent on this idea. Don't go to Egypt, trust God. That was Isaiah's sermon. Every pastor has a sermon. Every pastor has a message that God gives him for the people he's ministering to that's apt for that time period. And the time period that we're in Isaiah chapter 30, is we used to be the most powerful nation on earth under David and Solomon, and now there's an army in Egypt that's more powerful than we are. There's an army in Assyria that's more powerful than we are. Assyria is taking over everything, and it's all being sold at Walmart. We owe them a lot of money, so the only way that we can protect ourselves is we have to make an alliance with Egypt. Okay? And so Isaiah has been wiretapping them. And he's discovered that they're having an alliance with Egypt. Now, Egypt has a lot of nukes, but we're not supposed to make an alliance with them. So, he's constantly dealing with this desire in them. They wanted stability. They wanted security. They wanted to be in a place where they didn't have to worry about anything. They're losing their position of strength. And it's easier to trust Egypt and their weapons than it is to trust the Lord. You know, they had gotten comfortable. They've gotten at ease in Zion. They wanted to continue with their economy growing. They wanted to continue with all these things. And it's a whole lot easier to look to Egypt than it is to look to God. Now, there's more security in God than there is in Egypt, but it's easier to look to Egypt. And you know what I find is as Christians, it's a lot of faith. I mean, it's a lot of work to keep your faith in Christ. It takes a lot of work. The Bible says labor that you may enter into is rest. And so it takes a lot of work and a lot of reminding that the world can't help me, only God can help me. And so that's the idea here. And so Isaiah says, you are slipping. You are starting to trust Egypt. And I know that you are because of the actions that you're taking. Okay? And we have to fight in us the desire to look to the world for our answers. Okay? Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. And the Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. What I can eat, what I can consume, what power I can get for myself, and the position I can have for myself. That's all that's in the world. Right? And we have a tendency to go that way, and God doesn't want us to go that way. And so to prevent that from happening, God sent Isaiah, and he says, here's what you're doing, and I know you're looking to Egypt because of this action. Okay, now here's the message. The same actions that indicated that they were looking to Egypt are the same things that we can recognize in our heart that gives us a desire for the world, right? The same things Isaiah was pointing to in them and preaching against in them is the same things that we can find in our heart and recognize the pull the world has on us, and we can cut it off before it does damage. Punishment if you go to Egypt, promise if you wait on God. If you go to the world, it's not going to work out okay. If you wait on God, it's going to be better. So how do you recognize that you are starting to be pulled, laser beam pulled in to the world? You know, when you're watching Star Wars, when you're backslidden, instead of reading your Bible, there's like a Death Star, and you get close enough to it, and it's like, it sucks you in, right? So how do you know you're getting close to that being sucked into the world? All the sci-fi geeks liked that one. Number one, you will notice in your life, you will be able to recognize a desire for the world by an undiscriminating choice of influencers. Look at verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but what? Okay? So when you don't care who you get advice from, when you don't make sure that the person that you're listening to, the person that has your ear, is a holy person that loves the Lord, you're being sucked into the world. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. Oh, they get advice. They're not stupid, but not of me. They get advice, but they don't get the right kind of advice. They're undiscriminating in the advice and the influence they allow to have into their house. Now, if you're a parent, here's what you'll notice. When your children are this age, you'll say, Bez, this is what the world is like. Seth, this is what the world is like. Noah, this is what the world is like. Oh, Daddy, we know. We agree. Why would somebody do that? Did you see what they were doing? Mom, is that wicked music that they were listening to? Look, he's buying booze! Why is he buying wicked booze, right? I mean, at this age, it's easy. But at this age, they listen to you here. They agree here. But at this age, they start seeing the neon lights of the world. They start seeing what the world can offer them. And then a pretty girl comes along. No guy is pretty, but an idiot guy comes along. And all of a sudden, because of what they want, their 16-year-old friend is smarter than mom and dad. How did that happen? Because the 16-year-old friend has what they want. Right? There's a desire for the world. All of a sudden, if you're not careful, Your idiot friends will care more about you than your parents do. You just don't want me to have fun. Billy, he knows what fun is. It's harmless. Right? You know what happens? Because they want the security, because they want the joy, because they want the girl, because they want the boy, because they want the neon lights and the fast life and the pleasure, and they want the excitement and they want the fellowship and they want the friendship and they want what Egypt has. Then what mom and dad say don't matter anymore. Because Egypt looks good. It has what I want. And they become undiscriminating in who they allow to influence them. And the fact that Billy only has 16 years of life experience and he's dumb and he can't even pass his tests in school and his parents are felons and they're still in prison and he has a tattoo that says Billy is the best on him doesn't mean anything. How can you not see Billy is dumb? Because Billy has what I want. Now, it's easy for us to look at them and say that. But the same thing happens with me. And the same thing happens with you. We find out what the world has that we want. And we allow ourselves to be influenced by people that are less than holy, that are less than moral, that are less than what God wants. I was a young man, had a business, and I was working in Pensacola, and I was working for this Greek Orthodox dentist that works on your teeth. His name was Dr. Stamatolis. And I was building houses in the hot sun. And I love to fish. And I love to catch redfish and red snapper and triggerfish. And I love to catch grouper and amberjack. I've never met a saltwater fish that I didn't like to catch. And I love to eat them. And I discovered that there are people that get paid to fish. How do you get paid to fish? Well, all you have to do is have a big boat, know where the fish are, and other people like to fish too, so they pay you to take them fishing, and you get to fish and get paid for it. And I said, that sounds like something the Lord would want me to do. I mean, be a fisherman. Not a fisher of men, but a fisherman. And so this dentist, he found us out, and he said, oh, you need money and you need a boat. I have boats. I have a yacht. And I'll show you my yacht, and I'm looking for a captain to run it. I'm like, that's me, obviously. He said, I'll show you my boat. Meet me here Saturday at 3 o'clock. So I go here Saturday at 3 o'clock. I'm on the way. I'll be there in a minute. He shows up at 6 o'clock. Like, what is wrong with this guy? And he takes me over to this, the worst boat I've ever seen in my life. It has barnacles all over it. It's been turned over in the bay in a hurricane. I mean, this is the worst boat in the world. And he said, there's your boat. I'm like, what? It's like, we're getting it restored. Don't worry. I have somebody working on it. He's going to restore it. And it's going to look better than new. Here's what it's going to look like, right? And all this stuff. And so I start working with them and things like this. And then he said, you know what? I can tell you're smart. You need money, right? He said, come to my office. So I go to his dentist's office and I go upstairs and his big conference table's there. He said, I'm going to tell you and your friends how to make money. How would you like to have $3,500 a month coming in and income that you don't even work for? I'm like, well, everybody wants that. Show me how to do it. And he has this little kit of makeup. And he slides it across the table. And he said, what is that? I said, makeup. Why? I don't wear makeup. I'm not from San Francisco, okay? I don't wear makeup. What is that? It's a completely botanical. And you know what? Look, I'm going to sell you 12 of these for $115 each. And all you got to do is give them to women, and they'll want to buy them, and they'll buy 12 more. And all you have to do is get 12 people to buy 12 things of makeup, and you'll have all this money coming in. Where's your credit card? I'm like, wait a second. I might be a lot of things, but I'm not a makeup salesman. So I'm going to go home and pray about it. So I went home and I prayed about it, and the Lord says, I called you to preach, not to sell makeup, right? And I don't care what he says, he can't give you what he wants to, you think he can give you. The only way you'll have happiness is if you serve me, and don't forget what I called you to do, and don't go on a rabbit chase chasing this idiot to hell. So I went back. And I said two things. God called me to preach, and I can't be a very effective preacher if I'm looking at everyone like a makeup customer. I mean, I agree they're ugly and need makeup, but yeah, that's not what God called me to do. And furthermore, you need to get saved because you are an immoral, horrible person, and you are on your way to hell. And your idols can't save you. I don't care if I build you a wall to put your idols on. You're on your way to hell. Your idols can't save you, and I'm not selling any makeup. And that's the end of that. I need my check. Well, I'm not going to pay you, right? So then I went to his dentist's office, and I go there when he opens, and there's all the customers there waiting for him to treat. I'm like, you know Dr. Stamatolis, huh? I hope he does a good job on your teeth. You know, he owes me money. He hasn't paid me. He owes me money. And, yeah. So what time was your appointment? Late, huh? Wow. Well, I'm sure everything will be okay. Then he calls me and he's like, get into my office. He writes me a check and he says, get out of here. But you know what I learned? The only reason you allow these immoral people to have a place of influence and have an ear is because they have what you think you want. So let me ask you this question. Are you looking to the Lord or are you looking to the world? And if you look at the people that influence you, are they of a shady character because they have something you want? What is the character of the people you allow to influence you? Is it Egypt or is it Isaiah? What do they stand for? Who do they love? Would Jesus recommend you be mentored by them? Would you be excited if they were influencing your children, or would you put a disclaimer on them? And I don't care if they can help you get Bitcoin cheap. Who are you allowing to influence you? And if it's not holy people, if it's not Isaiah and it's Egypt, then you can recognize that the world has a draw on you. How do you know that the world is starting to get a hold of your heart? Not only that, but look at this. Look at verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Number 2, you will recognize it when you start to adapt an unholy philosophy. They cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Whatever they're doing, they want to keep on doing, so they cover it up with a philosophy, a lover of wisdom. They explain it away to where they can continue to do it, and they justify it in their own mind, just like Eve did in the garden. Look at Genesis 3. Look, and keep your hand there. Look at Genesis 3. Genesis, first book in your Bible. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees, fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, God said no. And the woman said, it's good for food. Why would God make something? Why would He make something if He didn't want me to eat it? I mean, it's nutritious. It's good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. God said, no! She said, I like the way it looks. And God said, no. And she said, it's a desired to make one wise. And God said, no. And she justified it in her own mind. She says, it's good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's desired to make one wise. Why would God make it? Didn't the Bible say that He made every herb-bearing seed and that it was good? I mean, maybe it has a medicinal purpose to it. I like the way it makes me feel. It helps me focus. I can learn better when I take it. It helps me to relax. I can function better. Keep in mind, God said no. And everything that you do that's a sin, God said no. And the way you do it is you have found a way to justify it in your own mind. God said no! And you said, but I like the effect. I like the taste. I like the way it makes me feel. But God said no. And God made it. And God said, don't touch it. And why would God make it and say not to touch it? I don't know. Why don't you let Him figure that out? All I need to know is not to touch it. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. You know what we adopt when we have a draw for the world? We adopt an unholy philosophy. A philosophy that allows us to cover our sin with a cloak of righteousness. A philosophy that allows us to be wolves with sheep's clothing. A philosophy that allows us to cover with a covering, but not of me, that we may continue to do what we do, that we want to do, and we add sin to sin because of this philosophy that we adopt. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware, don't touch it, beware of the dog, of the serpent. Beware lest any man spoil you, make you rot, make you stink, turn you into buttermilk and cottage cheese and yogurt. Through philosophy, that's wisdom. That's how you spin something. That's how you say things in a certain way that makes it sound smart. That's philosophy. I think, therefore I am. Man is the essence of all things. That's philosophy. There's no right or wrong. It's relative. Right? Well, if you're in a certain situation, is it okay to lie? I mean, let's say you know what the philosophy of the world is? The exception overthrows the rule instead of the exception proving the rule. You shouldn't do it. Well, what if you were in this situation and that was the only thing to do? You just proved that it's wrong to do it. Why do you have to look for an exception? Here's the philosophy of the world. I can do wrong, and that'll give me a chance to do a better good. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. I want to see my buddy saved. I want to see Justin Bieber live for God. So if I go to the bar and take shots with him, then I can influence him for God. You are an idiot. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of the men, and then look at this, underline this, after the rudiments of the world. You know what the word rudiment means? The basics, the fundamentals, the way it operates, the ABCs, the first principles. You know what the rudiments of the world are? What's wrong with it? It's good to eat. And look at it, it looks good. Man, it's desire to make one wise. What is wrong with it? I mean, you guys are just old school. You're past the times, man. Come on, you got to get up with the times. This is 2017, 2018. Even better. The rudiments of the world is what's wrong with it. That's how the world operates. And if that's your basis of deciding what's right and wrong, then you, my friend, have a desire for the world and your heart is starting to let you slip and you're headed for Egypt. It all starts when the serpent whispers into your ear, what's wrong with it? It's good for food. You know what that is? It's an unholy philosophy. It's a marker, a desire for the world. The Bible says this, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness. They cover with a covering, but not of me. And men love darkness rather than light. Neither cometh to the light that their deeds... That's John chapter 3. They don't come to the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They cover with a covering that adds sin to sin. Neither come to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they're wrought with God. You know what a desire for Egypt does? Yeah, I can't talk about it because the people there don't understand. You know? Now, I can't tell Brother Hugo what I'm doing because, you know, he's kind of old school and he doesn't really understand. So you know what I got to do? I gotta keep it hidden. Hey, how you doing, brother? Good. What have you been doing? Just serving God. I got a cover with a covering. What have you been up to? What have you been reading in your Bible? Good stuff. What stuff? You know, good stuff like God and stuff. You know, he's cool. Where? What verse? You know, in the Proverbs. Really? So what have you been spending most of your time on? It's really good to see you, brother. But you know what a person that wants to do right does? They come and they lay on the operating table and they say, Dr. Jesus, could you pull down that bright light and shine it into my heart and search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, would you take your operating knife and your scalpel and would you cut that sin out? Because my philosophy is not what's wrong with it. My philosophy is, I want to please you, God. I want to be like you. I want to be holy like you. I want to be usable. I want to find out what you want me to get out of my life and I want you to remove it and take it out of my life. I don't want to justify it. I don't want to cover it. I don't want to excuse it. I want to come to the light and get on the operating table and I want to get healed. And that's the difference. You come to the light. The rudiment of the world, you can figure it out. You don't have to trust God. Take it. It'll give you wisdom. It'll make you smarter. Take Adderall, you can pass your test. The people that took Adderall laughed. And you say, I don't need that devilish, sensual wisdom. I need the wisdom from above that's pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. I need to be simple concerning evil and wise to that which is good. And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And you know what the world in Egypt's always trying to do? It's always trying to pull us back into it by what's wrong with it. You need to achieve. You need to succeed no matter what the price. If you have to pick up a rock and kill your brother Abel, then kill him because you have to get to the top. That's the world. The world has Hamans in it, and they want to hang Mordecai to get what they want. The world has the people in it that threw Daniel in the lion's den so they could get to the top, and it didn't matter what way they had to go there. You know what a rudiment of the world is? Get there, it doesn't matter if you have to cheat to get there. I will ascend. I'll be like a god. I will ascend to my throne where I deserve to be worshipped. I don't need God telling me what's right and wrong, because when I take that fruit, I'll be as a god. And I'll know good and evil. I can determine it myself. I don't need a Bible. I don't need a preacher. I'll cover with the covering. We recognize the desire for a world by useless dependence. Look at verses 2. They go down into Egypt to strengthen themselves. They trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verses 5 and 6, they spend all their money and bring it to Egypt. Verse 7, the Egyptians shall help in vain, to no purpose. Their strength is to sit still. They put all their hope in these things that can't help them. They don't ask the Lord what He thinks about it. All they know is they have a need, and they believe with all their heart that Egypt can meet that need. And they'll take all their riches down there to a people that cannot profit. They put their trust in something that can't help them, and their strength is to sit still. You listen to the people at work that manipulate you, and they say, you don't need your husband. You don't need the church. You don't need your parents. You can do what they don't have any right to tell you what to do. And then you get rid of the church and you get rid of your parents and you get rid of your husband and you call them up and you're like, I need a place to live. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we just thought our role in this was just to give you advice to help you ruin your life. But, you know, we give to the homeless shelter, so why don't you call them? The Walking Dead's on now. I got to go by. Love you. Their strength is to sit still. They can't help you. You leave mom and dad and you get a boyfriend. And he's your answer. You don't need them anymore. Well, when's he going to get a job? Not soon. It's been 10 years. Is what you're depending on, will it last and can it actually help you? You know, people that have a desire for the world and they lost their desire for the world, they put their trust in the dumbest things. I'm going to make it big one day. How's the lottery ticket buying going? I mean, I can tell by the offerings it's not working too good. You put your trust in the dumbest things and it's going to make it big one day. Why don't you put your trust in the Lord? I had a friend and I was in Bible school with, and I'm like, hey man, you need to pay your school bill and stop eating all your money. You eat your money every day at McDonald's. McDonald's owns you. Between McDonald's and rent, you don't have any money left. I said, you need to pay your school bill. He's like, I have a plan. I'm like, really? Well, what's your plan? He's like, I have a dollar, and I can pray, so I'm going to pray and go buy a scratch-off ticket. And the Lord's going to bail me out, because, you know, he knows, like, I've been down here going to school, and he was a dollar broker with a scratch-off ticket that didn't work. But he was disappointed. God let him down. You know what people say? And they say this, the church is never there for me. You know, everybody, just this will help you out. Everybody that has ever complained about the church not being there for them when they were sick, they never lifted a finger to go see or help someone else when they were sick. I'm sick! In the hospital. Who did you go see in the hospital? The church. No, you're not there for anybody. You're a hermit. You know, there's a lady in the Bible, and her name was Lydia, and she died, and there was all the saints came up there, and they're like, look at these clothes that Lydia made for us when she was alive. You got to help her, Peter. And Peter raised her from the dead because the saints got him there because she helped other people. Let me ask you this. You leave the church and all that, you forsake, who's going to help you? Who's going to help you? When you go down to Egypt and you need spiritual help, who's going to help you? When you get depressed, who's going to help you? You're going to go to the witch doctor and he's going to look in your eyes with a magnifying glass and charge you $150, and you're going to be more depressed than when you went in there. Who's gonna help you when you forsake spiritual help? I want you to look at this. And this is the such an incredible illustration of human nature. So how many of you heard about the ballistic missile text message that went out to everybody in Hawaii? You heard about that? Here's what happened on the Hawaiian island of Hawaii when this went out. This is a traffic graph. It looks like a stock chart, but it looks like, it's a traffic graph that gives you the average traffic to a pornography website. This is where the alert happened. This is the average traffic. When the alert happened, minus 77%. The island of Hawaii cut down on their pornography usage as soon as that alert went out by 77%. Let me ask you this. Is what you're looking at to comfort you and help you, if there was a nuclear bomb headed to San Antonio and it was going to get here tomorrow, would it be worth missing church for the Super Bowl? It comforts me. Would it be worth missing church for The Walking Dead? You don't have to watch The Walking Dead to see zombies. Just come to church. The most popular show. You're sick in the head if you watch that, and I don't know who watches that. I just know you're sick. Would it be worth missing church? Is that going to comfort you if a nuclear bomb hits? Now, here's the craziest thing about this graph, okay? So here's the alert. Here's exactly 1 hour later. This is what happened when they thought they were going to die. Oh, good, I'm not going to die. Plus 48% pornography usage. If it's not going to help you in an hour of need, why do you run to it when you think things are okay? I saw that and I said, that's the best picture of human nature. And that's what they were doing. They're going to Egypt for help, for comfort. But God said, Egypt's not going to be there for you in an hour of need. It's not. You know what happens when you forsake the Lord in your heart? You start putting your stock and your happiness and your joy in useless things and depending on them. This can't help you. Here's another guy that people put their stock in. This guy's name is Forrest Fenn. He was diagnosed in 2011 with terminal cancer. They gave him a 20% chance to live. He's alive now, 87 years old. And he was a retired Air Force pilot. And all his lifetime, he collected artifacts and antiques and treasures. They heard that he was going to have this thing happen to him. He was going to die. So he took a box and he put gold coins in it. Some of them are 3,000 years old. Some of them came out of ancient Egypt coins. He put 4 pounds of gold in here. And this gold is worth way more than its weight in gold because of its antique value. He put ancient necklaces in there. He put Indian artifacts in there. They value the box and its contents between $1 and $3 million. And he took it and hid it. And he hid it, and he gave a clue as to where it was. And this is a clue. He gave a poem, and it has 9 clues as to where it is. And he says, if you can crack this poem, it will take you right to the treasure map. It'll take you right to where it is. If you crack this, it will take you right to it. You can go have it. You can take it, and it'll be yours, worth $1 to $3 million, depending on what the markets are. And here's the poem. As I have gone alone in there, I came with my treasures bold. I can keep my secret where a hint of riches new and old. And he says, this is what you got to figure out. Began it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of brown. For there's, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek. Just heavy loads and waters high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to seize. But tarry scant with marvel gaze. Just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my treasure trove for all to seek? The answer I already know. I've done it, tired, and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave in the wood, I'll give you the title to the gold. That's all you need to find $3 million. 350,000 people have went looking for this. Some people have quit their jobs. Some people have taken all their savings. One guy has made over 65 trips to various locations where he thinks it is. And he said this, why did you do it? He said, because the economy crashed in 08. And he said, I just wanted to give people hope. And you know what he did? He gave a bunch of people despair. 3 people have died trying to find it, including 1 pastor. Listen, I have the treasure map right here. There's no hope in the gold pope. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went and given their lifetime to find this treasure. They're depending on it. They're going to be rich one day. Let me ask you, where is your dependence? How are those lottery tickets going? You know what? And I understand it. Because I was up all night and I've cracked this poem. I said, that's a good illustration. It's not going to get me. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I said, I know where it's at. I know where it's at. And I Googled it. No one on the internet has the answer that I have. I even talked to Brother Roland, and we're going to split it. I need him to help. But in all seriousness, where is your dependence? Is it in gold? Is it in Egypt and what Egypt can give? Or is it in the Lord? And lastly, you can recognize a desire for the world by an unsavory reaction to the truth. Look at verse 9. This is a rebellious people, a lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Would say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Stop talking to us about Jesus and about what He wants and about His law, and tell us about TED Talks and nice things and smooth things and positive things, and help us to have our best life now. And he said in verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, if you trust Him, and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed in the corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. If you're looking for the Lord, even though you're going through a hard time, you're still going to see the preacher. You're still going to see somebody that's helping you spiritually. But if you're with the world, you know what you say? It says they will not hear the law of the Lord. It's called rebellion. And you know what God wants you to do? And you're not doing it. You know what we've grown to accept statements like this in the church? You know, I know what the Bible says, but we've grown to accept statements like this. You know, I know what's right and I know what I should do, but I know what the Lord wants me to do, but she just makes me so angry. Why do we accept stuff like that? Why do we accept statements like that? The Bible says they will not hear the law of the Lord. I've had people sit down in my office and I said, sir, you cannot do this. This is against everything in the Bible. It will destroy your life. God says, no, you cannot do it. I know I'm going to pay for it. They won't hear the law of the Lord. They won't say, they will not accept, no, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I refuse to be corrected. And then you know what happens? They don't want to hear Isaiah anymore. They want to hear someone preach smooth things. Whenever the world is getting my heart, Bible preaching makes me mad. Why are you so negative? I want to hear about the love of Christ. I want you to be tolerant and accepting of my sins. I've accepted my sin. Why can't you? I've accepted the fact that I'm a horrible person and don't do what God wants me to do. And I've just grown to love that person and live with that. And I want you to accept it as well. So just tell me how good I am. Tell me smooth things. And there's a thousand of them out there that'll tell you the smooth things. But if you're doing right, even if God gives you the waters of adversity and the bread of affliction, you'll still see your teachers and they won't be removed. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God, and every that one that loveth Him, look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 John 5 and verse 2 and 2 Kings 18:21, we're done. 1 John 5, 2. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not so hard. So difficult. We just can't do it. That's not right. Look at this. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh what? You don't have to go down to Egypt. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You have to believe what God said about Egypt. Now here's the thing. And let me just be as honest as I can. The world has a pull on me. Okay? And the pull is different now that I'm older than it was when I was 18. The pull is different. Right? The pool now is for success and influence. It's not for the things of the flesh. The pool later will be sins of the spirit, like depression and things like that. It changes as you get older, right? But we all have a pool. But if you don't have a pull back to God and your pull is only towards the world and there's nothing pulling you the other way, if Egypt is calling and you're just running to Egypt and you don't hear the voice of God over here saying, come this way, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because one of the evidences of salvation is that the world might pull, but God's pulling too. He's pulling and He's saying, come, don't trust Egypt. Trust me, wait on me. Have faith. I'll help you overcome the world. And when the world pulls, just cut it off and go with God. Believe what God said about Egypt by faith. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Just believe what God said, that if you put your trust in Egypt, it's not going to be cool. It's not going to turn out good. It's not going to be okay. They will not give you joy. They will not give you protection. Look at 2 Kings 18:21. 2 Kings 18:21. Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, upon which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce him. Listen, if you trust in the world, it's like a reed that's broken off at the top and it's full of splinters, and what you think is going to hold you up, it's going to splinter off and go into your hand and poison you. Don't trust it. It's a broken and a bruised reed. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust him. What are you trusting? Who are you allowing to influence you? Name them, write them down. Who are my influencers? Does God approve of this? He'll tell you right away. He will tell you right away. This is the person that has the greatest influence over me. Is that okay with God? Do you have an unholy philosophy that has allowed you to cover what you once believed to be sin, what there's things that you have to keep hidden, that you add sin to sin? Do you have a dependence upon things that, and an addiction to things, and a comfort in things that if a bomb was headed your way right now, they wouldn't help you? And is that who you trust for comfort? And when the truth is preached like it is today, and the truth comes and it shaves close, is that a welcome reaction to where I need to get right with the Lord? Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you, Lord, for your Bible. Is that your reaction, or is it, yeah, well, that's his opinion. That's what he thinks. You know how those Baptists are. Hellfire and brimstone. He's preaching out of Isaiah. Why is he not preaching out of 1 Corinthians 13? For God so loved the world. Are you the world? Are you trusting that? Well, listen, My preacher always said the best way to take a whipping from the Lord is to hear the truth and say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I willingly submit myself to your truth. That's the best way to take a whipping. Because if God has to go to the next level, it's not going to be fun. If I can have the piano player come,